Hello and welcome to the Digital Media Podcast. I'm Anirv Serene.
And I'm Tim Gilmore.
And today we'll be discussing some of Google's platforms, including Gmail, YouTube, and then Google's social platforms, including Google Buzz. Tim, you're a Gmail user. I'm a Gmail user. So let's start there. Today, Google announced that now if you have a Google Voice account and if you have a Gmail account, you can essentially use Gmail as a VoIP tool. So if you use Skype currently to make telephone calls from your computer, you can do the same thing from within Google. And the way that works is you install a plugin, you go to your Google Chat, and there is a new button that says call a phone. You put in the phone number and you start having a conversation. Now, this is a great way for Google to really enter into the real voice communication space. I know they had Google Voice earlier, which was a voicemail service, an SMS service, and it did a lot of different things, but this really simplifies everything, and it's a VoIP service, and I think it's going right after Skype.
Yeah, I definitely agree. You and I have both been Google Voice users for a while, and Google Voice is a great product. It's really convenient for me for a lot of ways, for a lot of reasons, and integrating it with the Gmail application layer just really, I mean, it seems like a no-brainer. I'm really, really happy it's going through because I use Gtalk, I use Gmail, and then having that wrapped in with a voice interface that connects to my actual landline phone, that just makes things a lot easier for me. One of the things I've noticed through my time of using Google Voice and Gmail is that I'm kind of, I don't want to say resistant, but I generally am too lazy. I think that's the actual way to say it. I'm too lazy to go to google.com/voice to actually check voicemails. And yeah, you can listen to them in your emails and everything too, which is great. And that's what I normally do. But just having it with a more tighter interaction and more tighter integration into the overall Gmail platform, I can't see that as anything other than pure win.
Yeah, exactly. And this isn't the first time that Google has done this. I mean, they built up Google Labs or Gmail Labs, I guess, which isn't really a platform, but it allows enhancements on top of the Google or on top of the Gmail experience, which is really phenomenal. And for those who haven't used it, you can simply go to your Gmail account, go to settings, and look for the Labs option there. I mean, and it does some really cool things, such as it allows you to undo an email send within 5 seconds. So it's really very innovative. But with this entire platform, I think Google's really trying to combine a big portion of their communication business by, I mean, you have Gmail, fantastic communication from an email standpoint. It's probably the best web mail experience at this point. Then they have a true communication devices such as the Android platform. And again, that's a growing market. That's something that's, I mean, we've seen just in the past couple of years that market has exploded. And part of that credit goes to Apple, if not most of it, because, I mean, a lot of these devices are using the technology or using the ideas that Apple came out with. But now they also have a VoIP competitor. And keep in mind that Skype just filed preliminary information for an IPO, and that just indicates how big that market is. And if Google and Gmail can take Google Voice as well as the built-in VoIP functionality to that level, it's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I really can't see how you can go wrong with that. And really what it looks like they're doing, especially with, you know, the various Labs projects that they've come out with, like Google Wave, which even though it wasn't very well very well appreciated or accepted by most people, Google Wave was one of those kind of interesting proof of concept things that I don't even know why it made it out of the proof of concept stage. But they really seem to be pushing a integrated communications platform.
Right, and I completely agree with you. And that's the same thing that they're doing with their Google Apps platform. They can keep rolling these services out. A very turnkey, very simple, and very, very effective for small businesses. I know we use Google Apps here locally, and I think you do as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a great alternative to having to email a million documents all over the place. I would much rather log on at a computer or laptop, various different places, have access to documents, and share them with people.
Right. All right. So let's talk about now their media platform, which is YouTube. When they acquired YouTube a couple years ago, it was still very much a upload, view, and share site. Today, it's a lot bigger than that. If you're a content creator, content producer, content distributor, or even a marketer, YouTube offers that depth that very few online platforms have. And what that really means is you go into YouTube and you can essentially track every single view based on demographics, based on location, based on geography, and really based on male versus female. So they've certainly done it well there, and I think they have a lot more coming on top of that platform. I think the next stage for YouTube is their live streaming platform, because that has gotten a lot of play over the past couple of years as technology has gotten better. Any other guesses as to what their platform enhancements might be on the YouTube side?
Well, I mean, YouTube, one of the interesting things about it is, yeah, it's been developed a lot more. And it's actually a very, very, very active user community in terms of commenting on videos and sharing videos and people's channels and various things like that. To my mind, YouTube is really one of the shining stars in the Google crown at the moment, besides the search engine and Google Apps and things like that. One of the things that's notoriously absent is the full-on Facebook integration you see all over the rest of the place these days. And really, that doesn't really surprise me since, you know, in my mind, and this is what I've been saying for a while now, but Facebook is basically building a meta layer on top of the internet. And Google really doesn't want that because they want to sell their ads and not have Facebook sell their ads. So YouTube really is a really powerful platform and a very, very interesting one too. Just the amount of stories and the whole concept of the YouTube star, which is around these days, which, you know, everybody from Numa Numa to Chocolate Rain to goddamn 8 million other things that are in there. That's a phenomenon we really haven't seen too much. And in social, you have the other side of the coin, which is applications and gaming and things like that. And so, you know, I look at YouTube really as Google's most successful social product at the moment. And I think that while Buzz is kind of a good idea and Orkut was kind of a good idea and Wave is kind of a good idea, these things never really materialized as effective communication tools, unlike the whole Gmail suite, which is fantastic for doing what it should be doing and what it is doing. But I look at it like this. The Gmail suite is your connected web 2.0 evolution of the 1990s Microsoft Office. That's great. But by trying to build in this social stuff, you know, I hear they're looking for somebody to run their social now and they're really worried about Facebook at the moment. Instead of taking things that people were doing, giving them new ways to do stuff that was simpler and easier and more connected and more modern and current, what they're kind of doing now is trying to rush around and figure out what Facebook was doing in 2005. And I don't think that's really going to work for them too well.
And they have tried with a few different properties now. I know you brought up Google Wave a little while ago, and then now they have Google Buzz, but both of these don't really do it for me. I mean, Wave, I think, A, was really too confusing to use, and B, it was very limited into the number of people using it and the functionality of it. I mean, I really didn't see a purpose for Google Wave. Buzz is something similar, but the problem is it really depends on people that you know. And if no one else is using that same platform, then it's really very difficult to make a social property successful, because, I mean, social really depends on the people. And when there are no people, then it really doesn't work, regardless of the functionality.
Yeah, no, I mean, social's got a critical mass, you know, any social system does. You're seeing various sites hit it. Facebook is, of course, the biggest example of that critical mass, whereby at this point, you know, at least in the circles that I run around in, I mean, The only people I know that do not have Facebook accounts are people that intentionally do not have Facebook accounts. They either gave them up because they were pissed off at the infinite rounds of redesign or the privacy issues, or people who are Luddites, basically, anti-technology people. That, you know, for them, the using a computer is one of those kind of nasty things that they have to do every now and then. But everybody else, really, I mean, you know, if you want to go, like, here's an example, okay? Once upon a time, there was a site called classmates.com. It's still around, I'm sure. Its whole premise was connect with the people you went to high school and college with, and you can find them here and stuff like that. Well, I checked that out years and years ago, as did, I'm sure, a million other people. Yeah, you could get on, and, you know, once you got on, you'd find some people, and there was nothing to keep you there. There was, like, very little stickiness within that site. Whereas with Facebook, now it's just like, I mean, you want to find the kid who lived next door to you when you were 10 in Hackensack, you probably can. And it's simply because it's reached that critical point where there's so many people on Facebook sending so much information back and forth. And the site is extremely sticky. People do come back. People do check in. They answer messages. They post videos. They post pictures. They post status updates. And, you know, that kind of complete involvement is really, I think, the biggest threat to Google, because they've never really been able to build that into any of their products, at least not that I've been able to see.
And that's kind of surprising, because they have done well with the other markets, and Google Talk is just one of the examples. I mean, to break someone away from their primary IM clients is very hard.
Sure.
But they have managed to do it with Google Talk, at least with a small demographic. And they keep building on top of features for that when making it a lot more useful. And that's how Skype came about, and that's how Skype is still successful. I mean, you can do Skype to Skype, but you can do Skype and then the outside world. And I think that's what Gmail has done, or especially with Google Voice, is you have your base, and then you can connect with people that are in the same base, but you can also connect with the audience in the outside world, whatever that might be. So I think that's one of the reasons for why Gmail has succeeded, why YouTube has succeeded, but we are not seeing any success come from Google Buzz or from Google Wave.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens, because, you know, I Google can't ignore this. Google has to work on this. And while I don't know about the quality of their engineers now, because they've kind of they've reached that huge monolith stage, and they're not like the tight running super sexy startup that area has been filled with companies like Foursquare, Facebook until recently. Now Facebook is kind of becoming and reaching middle age rather quickly in terms of the startup rounds. So we'll see. We'll see. It all has to do with, can they find somebody like they've been talking about who really groks this whole deal, bring them in and have them really build a system that is not a replication of things that have already existed, but offers something new. You know, that's exactly like Foursquare. You know, what Foursquare was not a complete reimagining of things, but Foursquare took something simple, like, you know, the idea about Twitter, which itself is simple, and added geolocation to it, and all of a sudden had a product that is the talk of the town everywhere, and the user base is growing massively to the point where Facebook's been copying them. You know, Facebook's redesigns over the last couple of years, a lot of them were what everybody likes to call Twitterification. So I think Google needs to avoid that sort of emulation of stuff that's already been done and really forge their own path. And they've done it in the past, and we'll see if they can do it again.
I agree. And I think this is something that's not going to go away. I mean, Google is a big big company. Facebook is a big company, and big companies compete. I think you're completely right when they say, you know, when you say that social is something that they cannot ignore, and I completely agree. If they start ignoring this, it might be the end of Google as we know it, especially from an innovation standpoint. Because today a lot of stuff is done through social platforms. It's, I mean, it really changes the dynamic of the web, and we'll keep tracking this. We'll keep seeing where it goes. And if Google tries something else out, we'll definitely be there to, you know, play with it and see what, if it works, if it doesn't work, and how it really fits into the bigger picture. All right. Thank you, Tim.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you for listening to the Digital Media Podcast. To learn more about the business and technology of digital content, visit digitalmediapodcast.com.